Hey, hello, and welcome to the Remarkable Way podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Gebhardt. And in today's episode, I'm sharing a recording that I did last year with my good friend, Nina Hirschberger. It's about newsletters and marketing to creative audiences. So I hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
Hello, it's Nicole Gebhardt, and thank you so much for joining me today. I am very excited and honored to have on the call one of my mentors and an international celebrity in the world of direct marketing. Nina Hirschberger, are you there?
I am here. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm terrific. It's a beautiful day here in northern Indiana. I'm looking out and the sun is shining, so all is well.
That's all right. Well, then this is a good conversation. I've got my cup of tea sitting here, and I'm ready just to have a good conversation with you and share this with my clients. And I want to talk to you today about personality marketing. But first, I want people to have an idea, a little bit about who you are and what you do. You are a bit of an international celebrity, and you're the owner of a company called Megabucks Marketing. Tell me a little bit more about you and how you've got this international fame.
You know, Nicole, I was actually in corporate America for probably about 30 years, and but I do have a marketing degree. I have a passion for marketing. I would do marketing in my sleep if I could. But I played the corporate game for years and years and actually was very successful even with my marketing in the corporate world. But back about 2006, I think it was, I brought to market, I was still in the corporate world at that point, but I brought to market a direct mail piece that looks like a man's paper wallet. It is a direct mail piece that goes through the regular mail, you know, if you remember what that is, regular mail. And inside there, we put what I call mega big bucks or fake money. And it's with some sort of an offer. So we'll make it look a little bit like real money, only it's a larger size. And we send them out by the hundreds of thousands. That particular piece went viral in a particular marketing niche, a group of people. And so I ended up with clients in the UK. I ended up with clients in Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, all over the world. And because of that, in that small niche became an international celebrity. I do a lot of things for clients, but that is the one thing that I am the best known for worldwide.
And I don't want to underplay that because it was big. That's how I first heard about you. I think you've been featured in a book. Is that correct?
I am. Yeah. Bill Glazer wrote a book. In fact, it's right here. It's Outrageous Advertising. And I was actually featured three times in that book, once for my wallet mailer, once for a direct mail piece that looks like a file folder. So I literally took a regular file folder, put some stuff in it, tabbed it together, put some stamps on and a label, and mailed the file folder like that. He featured that in the book. And the third thing he featured was actually a pill bottle, a medical pill bottle, and I used that also in a mailing. You know, bottom line, what I'm all about is if everybody does one thing, I do the absolute opposite. I'm always looking for out-of-the-box, interesting things to do.
Okay, so this is where, you know, I can already imagine some people are a little scared. And I know that when I work with clients, when you start recommending out-of-the-box, they get scared. But this is really the secret weapon of a small business owner. And what I love about you is you do it with such fun and personality and bold confidence. That, you know, that's my favorite thing about you. When I get the opportunity to sit down with you and mentor with you or partner with you on something, you're just fun. Where do you get your inspiration?
You know what? Everywhere. I'll tell you one of my biggest secrets. This is where everybody, actually I'm going to tell you two big secrets. One is my very favorite store is the dollar store. If you go in there, you will get so much inspiration, and that's where I get a lot of my inspiration. The second thing I get inspiration from is a magazine like the National Enquirer. There's multiple ones of those out. That just happens to be one brand. The highest paid copywriters in the world write the headlines and the copy for those kind of rag papers because, you know, people, they got you because they're looking at them and they got to grab them. So if I'm working on a big project, I will go to the store, probably a grocery store farther away than my normal one because I don't want anybody to see me buying these things, and I will actually buy one of those and get a lot of inspiration from that. But Nicole, let me stop a second. I want to go back to one thing you just talked about a minute ago, because you said small business owners can get frightened or overwhelmed, or I forgot what word you actually used. It actually should be the opposite. Remember, I was in corporate America for 30 years. I watched those big, and I was in very large companies. So I watched what they did. I watched what they didn't do. And I'm telling you, the small business owner has far more ability to be agile, to be quick, to be innovative, to be personality than any of those big, because they've got so many committees. They all have to get approval. Then they have to go through this committee, and then they have to do this, whereas the small business owner can simply make things happen.
Yeah, that is absolutely it. And, you know, my years at Caterpillar, same thing. It was hard to get fun stuff approved. We did it, but it was a lot harder. So that's what I love. I love working with small business owners now. So if you can help them overcome the fear of doing something, you can have a lot of fun, and it makes a huge impact. Huge. And your secret of sending them to the dollar store, it's not expensive. You know, mm-hmm. What a corporation will spend on a four-color brochure, you can send a black and white flyer in a prescription tube and get far more impact. So fun ideas. I want to talk to you today a little bit from that perspective then about building relationships through your marketing. So we've talked about emphasizing personality a little bit, but let's talk about building relationships in marketing. What's your opinion for the most effective way for a small business owner to convert a prospect into a buyer?
It's by continually reaching out and touching and engaging with them. Now, a lot of people are into social media these days. I am also. There's certainly a lot of engagement going on there, and there's a lot of business happening on social media. I particularly love direct mail in addition to social media, because I can send them things in the mail, and most people, probably 99% of the people, love going to the mailbox and wondering what's in the mail today. Unless you're behind on some of your bills and you're afraid it might be bills, there's still that sense of excitement and interest in that mailbox. You cannot tell me if I send an email to somebody that they're going to have that same excitement. In fact, you click, 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 delete everything. So for that reason, and the reason that the mailbox is pretty empty these days, I spend a lot of my time, energy, working with clients, putting things in the mail. Big companies do not do that. You're absolutely right. I'm going to give you an example. This is a real-life story. Back in my corporate days, I got two pieces of mail one day. One was from a very, very, very large company that if I told you the name, everybody would know it. I'm sure that somewhere, someplace, an ad agency has that particular piece. They probably won an award. It's probably featured, you know, in their newsletter, their company newsletter. I mean, they're very proud of this piece. It was a large piece. It was for color. It was put into a plastic sleeve, and it had a little dot of Velcro that closed it. I mean, it was beautiful. It was actually too big to fit into my file cabinet, so had I wanted to keep the piece, I would have had to figure out someplace else to put it other than my filing cabinet. Same day, another piece arrives in my home office, not in my corporate office, but my home office. It was from a chiropractor friend of mine up in Wisconsin. It had two pieces of paper. The paper was a bit thin, and one of the pieces of paper was burnt on the edges. It was stuck in a number 10 envelope, handwritten live stamp. I opened the piece, I started to read, and I practically fell on the floor laughing at this. I had to call the guy, and I said, please tell me, how many did you send, and what kind of response did you get? He said, I sent 1,000. First of all, he said, I sent 100. I always send 100 of anything. I use one roll of stamps. That's my test. And so if I know I'm going to get response, then I follow up, and I finally send 1,000. He said, I got a 67% response. Now, ooh. Nicole, I guarantee you, that big company that sent all that big thing, because I read through that entire thing, and I'm thinking, what are they asking me to do? They didn't ask me to do anything. The only thing that piece did that they spent so much money so proudly, you know, producing was, here we are, big company, you need to do business with us because we're really good. In essence, that's what it said. So the message to the small business owner is, to build that relationship, I think you cannot ignore direct mail. I'm not saying exclusively. I'm saying don't ignore it, at least. And do it all, do it frequently. You know me, I'm very, very fond of monthly newsletters, printed monthly newsletters in people's mailboxes. And so you have the opportunity to engage, to build that relationship, to show pictures of your kids, where you went on vacation, what's happening in your life. So it's ongoing communication and relationship and story that you're telling about you personally, because people do business with people they know, like, and trust. People they know, like, and trust. You know, the big company, we're not doing, I didn't, when I was buying from that big company, I wasn't buying from the big company. I was buying from the local person who actually came to see me in my office. And that's exactly the same thing that small business people, because they can be more flexible, more quick, more agile, can build that relationship ongoing.
All right, so now I mean, I'm a believer, and it was, we'd had a lot of power in newsletters, even at the corporate level, because I knew no better. And when I did the newsletter, I packed it full of personality. I was very uncorporate-like. But as the small business owner, I remember Jack Kleemeyer, interviewed him recently. He tells the story. He put off doing his newsletter for months. And it's hard to start. I mean, it is. Once you start, you've committed. And so he said, you know, he put it off for months and months and months, and he was finally in a mastermind group, and they said, don't come back unless you have it published next month. So he did, and he said it's been the single biggest game changer for his business. I think he mails out now 500 of them a month. He just allows his list to continue growing. And he got business the other day from someone he added to his list a couple of years ago, hasn't heard from them at all, and all of a sudden they pick up the phone and arrange a speaking gig for him. That equated to several hundred dollars, if not a couple of thousand, I don't remember now. But I think the hardest part is probably getting started. So let's do a little, if you would, let's do a little convincing for business owners. What have you seen in case studies from people that you've helped get started on newsletters? How's it paying off?
I'm going to give you an example of one that I do, because I do these for clients, because I understand how difficult it is to get some things out. They look at a blank screen and they think, what am I going to write about? So I do it for them. And one of my clients is a dentist in Ohio, and I've been doing his newsletter for about 4 or 5 years now. So it is the only marketing that he does. He does no other marketing. In the early days, we did, and I still think he should, but he is so busy by just sending out that newsletter. And so I do the whole thing. I went the next step, and I said, okay, if you know, it's not inexpensive to hire me to do a newsletter for you, to write it, to lay it out, to control the production, get it mailed out, do the whole thing. So the next thing I did was, okay, I'm going to put together a template version. It's a 4-page, you can print and then fold and tab it and stamp it, and I put all the content in, and you can revise the content to be your personality and send it out. And then, Nicole, you challenged me. You said there's some businesses, some small businesses, that might even be a stretch for. So then I even designed a template that's a half-sheet postcard. So it's 5.5 by 8.5, again, with all of the different elements, the personality and content. So now they can take that template, do a little bit of editing, and now there is nothing cheaper than a, you know, an oversized simple postcard to go out on a monthly basis.
So I'm cracking up because, yes, I did challenge you. And the postcard, you sent me the postcard newsletter proof a little while ago, and it's genius. I love it. It's what? It's 8.5 by 5.5?
Yeah, it's 8.5 wide by 5.5 tall.
And you have crammed how many articles in there? It's really good.
I'm looking at it right now. 1, 2, 3... 4, I got 4 articles, a cartoon, and 2 coupons or special offers on there.
Yeah.
So all of that in that space.
And so we'll talk about a web address to go see this at the end, but it's fabulous. It really is. And it is the most basic element. And then, so what I love about it is a small business owner can start there and not commit overly to something big. And it's just a great little piece. It's also a great little fun piece. It's clearly fun when it shows up in the mailbox. You can't not read it. That's just it. And you practice what I like to call refrigerator journalism or National Enquirer journalism, where you really are catching people with little bits of news they can use and that interest them. It's not stuffy. It is not the done-for-you financial advisor newsletter or real estate newsletter that are produced by corporate pieces and are clearly rebranded with this guy's name and that guy's name and 6 agents in the same city are sending it out. So you really create a personality piece with it. So good job. I love it. All right, I want to go back to something you said a minute ago because you were talking about the dentist and you said the only marketing he does now is his newsletter. So convince us a little bit more. Can you share a couple of other stories of people who are having some pretty powerful success with newsletters?
Yeah, let me tell one thing before I go to the other ones, though, Nicole. First of all, make sure that people understand we don't put any dental things in here. So we're not talking every month about flossing your teeth. We're not doing anything. We're talking about just fun things happening. We always do crazy pictures. What I will do for him is, like this last month, in July, what I did is we cut out some cardboard and we sprayed it with chalkboard paint, and I found 3 different crazy holidays. I think it was hot dog day and popcorn day and something or other in that month. And so what they did I mailed the chalkboard cardboard pieces to them, and on it they with a piece of chalk and they wrote the holiday and what date it was. And so, and then they took a picture with the dentist holding one and a couple other people. So we're always mixing things up. So that is a business-to-consumer application. You know, it's the dentist to his patients or prospects. This works in business-to-business. I have one client who has a metal etching company, and we do exactly the same thing. We do fun things. One thing I didn't say is I have a humor writer that's on staff that actually works or actually writes every single month what I call a dog blog. So we make their dog, the client's dog, a personality, a celebrity. You know, there. And so the people are always wondering, what is Charlie? What is Max? What is Bailey? What is Techno? What are they going to say next? And so so I'm back to this metal etching company. We have the dog blog. So his dog's name is Charlie, little Yorkie. And then we just have fun things through the whole thing. Usually on the front page, then we'll have something going on in their business or a vacation they took or whatever. So that's a business to business. I've got auto repair. I've got heating and air conditioning. I've got realtors. I've got mortgage brokers. I've got all sorts of industries. I just picked up the other day a guy who is a mentalist, does hypnosis. Is doing the newsletter now. So it works in any industry. People are people.
Yep. And they want to do business with people.
They do.
Yeah. That's the secret, and that's why personality and marketing and particularly then sharing that in a newsletter is so powerful. So biggest order you've ever seen as a result of a newsletter?
Oh, now that's interesting. Biggest order. Remember, these are for my clients.
Right.
So would the one I just told you about, the metal etching company, I got a call after, I think it was the second newsletter. I got a call from them, and they had bought the company. It was a 23-year-old company when they bought it. They've now had it 2 years. But, of course, the prior owner hadn't done any marketing. So this was very unusual. So they took this list, this old list that nobody had ever worked. And I think after the second newsletter, they had gotten a call from one client who used to be the biggest client they ever had. So that was probably worth at least $70,000 to $100,000 a year, that particular call. That's probably the biggest one I can remember.
That is awesome. What about content? So if let's say I've got somebody who's a DIY person, they're, you know, and they're looking at starting it. I've got one client in particular that I'm working with right now that's looking at a newsletter, and I'll be honest, I'm having trouble convincing them. In fact, the words that I got back were precisely, I think newsletters are overdone. We're not going to do that. How would you reply to that?
First of all, tell me what industry that client could be in.
Oh, wow. Professional consulting. I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
And B2B.
So
they're an advisor and a B2B.
An advisor. Business. Okay. Well, if they're an advisor in an industry, they're probably going to be doing some other things because they certainly want to, if they're blogging, they can take some of the content that they had in their blogs and put it into a printed form. You know, the secret to this marketing, it's all multimedia. There will be people that will read your blog online that will never read an email and would never go to any social media. There will be people that will read your newsletter but would never go online to read a blog, would never do it. So it's the fact that you're hitting them from multiple places is why this works. I'm going to give you another example. Because, you know, I'm thinking about the advisor, but I think they really need some of their content in there and their personality and their I have an insurance guy. He's one of the top insurance agents up in Canada. He bought his father's 30-year-old insurance about 11 years ago. His father had a 30-year-old insurance company, and this guy bought his father's agency about 11 years ago. For the very first year, all he did was he was a customer service rep. He needed to understand the business. That was the very first year. After that, he started implementing marketing, and he tripled his father's business in 3 years. And the number one thing he says, you can take everything else away from me, but you cannot take my newsletter, my printed newsletter, monthly newsletter. And he's an advisor. He's an advisor to the insurance for people who are looking for insurance. And he said one time he decided it wasn't worth the money. It was too much. He was going to stop it for a few months. He said his phones literally dried up, And then he thinks, how much money did I lose by being that cheap? Nicole, you can figure that a newsletter could run you somewhere around $1 a piece per month. If your client isn't worth $12 a year, you've got the wrong clients. You need to have other clients. So that's what I would say to that person. It allows him to show up. Let me give you another example. I have a cosmetic surgeon. Now, this is not going to be a newsletter example. This is going to be, because this is real fresh. I just met with this client yesterday. We did another direct mail piece. This one happened to be a postcard. And that month, when the postcard went out with the offer of what we were doing, he did not have any sales for that particular offer. And yet it was one of his biggest months ever. Because you showed up. And they said, well, I might not want that, but I've been thinking about calling them, and I'm looking for this. And that's exactly what happens. And that's what happens when you show up with a newsletter. $1 a month, $12 a year. Is your customer worth that?
Yeah. I'll vouch for that. It's the printing for an 11 by 17 piece of paper, double folded and prepared for mail, is about 50 cents. And then it's a 48-cent stamp on top of that. So it really is a dollar, and I think what you said is great. It's, you know, don't be a cheapskate when you look at doing that.
Well, in that particular case, I really recommend clients just pre-sort, because when you do the format you just talked about, Nicole, you don't need a live stamp, because it's almost like I design my newsletters that mail panel is almost like a postcard.
Yeah.
if they never open it. So in that case, I don't need to spend the extra postage to put in a live stamp. I can just, unless you have small numbers, of course. But if you've got any quantity at all, you can pre-sort and even bring that postage down.
Exactly, yeah, and that's for under 200, so once you hit that number. So I love it. Thank you so much. I think it's great. Answer me this. What businesses are best for newsletters, and which ones should skip it?
Well, I don't think there's any business that ought to skip it. The very best, I suppose you could make a case for a roofer not to send out a postcard. If his view is that they're going to put one roof on every 30 years, why would I do it? The answer that you could give to that is, yeah, but do they have neighbors? You know, the thing about it is people think they're going to remember who you are. They won't. They won't remember your name. They won't remember your company name. They won't remember. They won't know if you're still in business. Are you still putting roofs on? So any of that kind of stuff, again, are they worth $12 a year? Could they have a neighbor? One good thing to put in a newsletter is a thank you for the referrals. With this cosmetic surgeon I just told you about, and we're going to do the postcard newsletter for him. And what we're going to do is we're going to put the states that his patients come from, because they come from all over the country. Nobody knows that. See, that's social proof that he's good at what he does. Going back to my roofer example, though, the roofer should be, and you do a fabulous job about teaching people how to, in your workshop, your two-day workshop, or if you even change the format, about identifying their ideal client, and then also joint venturing or maybe having affiliates. So the roofer should have some sort of arrangement with maybe the gutter guy or maybe the guy who does landscaping or whatever. So now here's what you can also do. Here's how you can take that $12 newsletter and make it free. Maybe all you do, maybe your list, and I'm going to give you a live example. We're going to go away from the roofer, but we're going to go to an auto repair guy. That guy has 2,500 names in his list, his real address list. So he joint ventured with a chiropractor in his city, and they split the cost of producing the newsletter because we featured the chiropractor. You could have an ongoing monthly column from a lawyer, from a landscaper. Don't make it look like an ad. Just make it have them write an article. And now they split the cost. You do that with a couple people, now your newsletter is 100% free.
Absolutely.
And not only does it go to your list, it's going to the lawyer's list, it's going to the landscaper's list, it's going to the roofer, whoever you include in that newsletter for that little bit of effort that it takes. You now cross-pollinate between all of the lists. And so now your reach is even further. But remember, if it's an ideal client for you, it will be an ideal client for other people in non-competitive industries.
Yeah, and that is such beautiful advice. If you've got somebody particularly like the car driver and the chiropractor that you can drive each other's business, the same, like you said, is it, you put together a siding guy, a gutter guy, and a roofing contractor, and you're all sharing a list, now you're working each other's business, and it's not that much effort. So the effort is just up front and getting the system going. That's the hardest step, is committing and starting. But once you do that, you know, it can become a real joy. That's what I was talking to a man that you and I both know down in Louisville. His name is Todd Skaggs, and Todd was talking about it's become now his favorite marketing activity, is pulling together a newsletter. It's where he can kind of loosen his shirt collar, have a little bit of fun, and just enjoy sharing his side of what he does and his personality and his business. So,
well, one of the secrets is just to keep a file folder right by your desk, and anything that looks interesting to you or you run across, you just put a copy into that folder. So when it comes to newsletter time, you pull the folder out and you've got your stuff to work with. So you could take one like template that's already got all the content, but now you can change this article using the stuff that's in your file folder, sometimes what we call a swipe file, but it's an idea file.
All right. So with that, you know, I want to keep them wanting more. That's what my friend Mark Brandenberry said. You always leave a conversation with wanting more. If they want more, they can find you at my website, theremarkableway.com/Nina. And that's where you can find out information about Nina's wallet mailer along with her done-for-you newsletter services, including the postcard, which is one of my favorites. Thank you so much for your call today and for your time today. I appreciate it. Thanks for sharing what you know and your experience with our listeners today. I hope you have a fabulous day. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks for joining me on The Remarkable Way. If you like what you heard today, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and then head over to theremarkableway.com to grab my small business marketing guide, No More Random Acts of Marketing.